Good evening, everyone. We're glad that you are here with us this evening, Sunday evening at 6 p.m. to listen to another portion of God's Word. This is Lakeland Hills Church of Christ. If you're not a member, if you're visiting it to us live from the web or watching this stream on YouTube, we appreciate your attendance and your time with us together. We are bringing a couple passages to you together, and our topic tonight will be encouragement. Before we do start our lesson, though, I'd like to turn to prayer and go to our Father in Heaven so that we can give thanks for all of us having this ability to come together and the things we're facing today. Let us bow now in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, we come to you in prayer with petitions that you watch over us, Lord, as a people, as a nation, as members of your body, children of yours, that you be with us, Lord, always to strengthen us and edify us, encourage us. We know, Lord, we sometimes live in turbulent times. We ask for the strength of the government, our leaders. We ask for the strength of those that are watching over us, the elders of this flock, the elders of those that are watching other flocks. We help. You are strengthened and encouraged with them, and that we as people and as families, fathers and mothers, grandparents, aunts and uncles, children of yours, that we continue to turn to your word as we turn back to you and realize and creator of all things that your hand is in charge. No matter what we may face, but no matter what things we may see, that we know that you are in control of all things. We ask you continue to be with us, that our prayers and worship are a sweet-smelling aroma to you. We know, Lord, you gave the ultimate sacrifice by sending your Son, Jesus, to come to this earth and bear many things, but to die for the remission of our sins, that we may be children of yours, that we never forget this, Lord, that we continue to realize that you are always in charge, you are always in control. And it's by your words that you give us, Lord, from your scriptures that can reach out and encourage us one and another each and every day. Lord, grant us this strength always. In Jesus' precious name, in whom we believe, we pray. Amen. I appreciate the words that are given to us by scripture. I appreciate that God has given us the abilities to come before you and bring some of his words and messages. So I want to thank God first and foremost. It's always an honor and a privilege for me to be able to come and humbly bring some of his words that were brought to us. I want to thank you, each one of you, who is now listening on computers or tablets in a media that doesn't allow us to come together, but you have taken your time to listen. This means a great deal to me that I can share just this small portion. God has given us his word of encouragement and comfort. And this is not to just one person, but this is to all of us everywhere. There are so many passages that allow us to talk about comfort and encouragement in the Bible. I have brought together a few examples of God's word about these topics. And hopefully we can then guide ourselves in this study together. As we come together, continuing to be children of God, God has intended for us as his children to love and encourage one another, to build up as he's given us the hope, comfort, and courage through his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for the remission of our sins. We have many examples of men in the Bible going through different trials during their lifetime. Recently here at Lakeland Hills, we've been studying the period of the judges. We see that Israel continues to fall away, forsake God, worship idols of other nations. And God then is angry and brings Israel under subjection to these other nations around about them. The common theme is they cry out to God and repent. They turn back to God for his comfort and encouragement. He builds up a judge who gives them times of peace. Well, we hope that the words given by God in his scriptures are not just mere words on a page, but they are, in fact, encouragement. So let us open our minds and hearts as we study his word, as we go through his passages that God has provided for us, and hears these words of encouragement. So the word itself, encouragement, as you look at different dictionaries, Vines, Strom's, Webster's Dictionary, we look at the definition of the word encouragement, which means is to give courage, to give hope, to give confidence, to give support, to comfort in the ASV, to help. And the last two, to urge forward a calling to one's aid, is also found in Vines as a noun, meaning to give aid. A calling to one's aid, meaning that we need to know where that aid needs to come. We see encouragement from the scriptures. We see encouragement from the Holy Spirit as he gave utterance to the disciples and apostles to write these things down. Jesus told his disciples he was going to send that comforter to them. In John chapter 14, verse 16 and 26, Jesus was talking to his apostles, telling them, "And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever." Because Jesus was going away. He knew he was going to die. And in verse 26 of that same chapter, "But the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you." And in John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus told them, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall bear witness of me." And then in John chapter 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him unto you." That Comforter was the Holy Spirit. He was going to guide the disciples and apostles. He was going to give the apostles strength. He was going to comfort them. And so we see that the apostles were given direct revelation from Jesus to them about the Comforter and who that was, and why he had to suffer these things and why he had to go. Let's turn now with me to Romans chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. And as the letter goes, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." And that was a direct quote from Psalm 69, verse 9. "For everything was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember, these scriptures were given for our encouragement. They were written so they may teach us, so we may understand what was given for us, that the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide give us hope. And hope should stay with us, because when we open God's word, it should dwell within us fully, filling us up, giving this support, giving us this hope. To give hope, that was also one of the definitions of encouragement. To give courage was also one of those definitions of encouragement. It should be an encouragement when we get a chance to see each other in person as we come together. When we gather together, that is quite an awesome experience. And I know as we do so, it's hard for some of us not to touch and hug and greet us like we normally would in these changing times. And that is some of our trials that we have to go through. But we have that encouragement and hope that things will change. God is in control. He will give us that direction. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. Wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement for who have fled for refuge to lay hold of hope set before us. God does not lie. So these words of encouragement we know are truth. Now, staying in the same book of Hebrews, turn a couple chapters over to chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one and another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. There are many things in the world we wish we could change. We need to accept that God is in control and has the power over all things. We take comfort in his words. We take comfort in the words that he has given us. We take comfort in the words that was given to the apostles, that they may be written down for us. We see the Psalms a lot of times have a lot of encouraging words to say. And as we turn to Psalms, turn to the 138th Psalm, the psalmist writes, this is a psalm of thanksgiving for Jehovah's favor. This psalm is attributed to David. And starting in verse 1, reading the whole chapter, 1 through 8, Psalm 138. I give thee thanks with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and give thanks unto thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day that I called, thou answeredest me. Thou didst encourage me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall give thee thanks, O Jehovah. For they have heard the words of thy mouth. Yea, they will sing of the ways of Jehovah. For great is thy glory of Jehovah. For though Jehovah is high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the haughty he knoweth from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Jehovah will perfect that which cometh concerneth me, thy loving kindness. O Jehovah, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So we see even when we walk in the midst of trouble, God will be with us. When we have trials in our life, God will be with us. We need to make sure that we give thanks of these trials. James had something to say about that we should be thankful. Peter also said something about that too, as far as being thankful for some of the trials and trials by fire. But Paul wrote to the brethren in Thessalonica in his letter, or his two letters, and we're going to read from both of them a portion. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. As ye may know how we dealt with each one of you, as a father with his own children, exhorting you and encouraging you and testifying to the end that ye should walk worthily of God, who calleth you into his own kingdom and glory. So Paul was showing kindness. He was giving kindness. He was giving strength. He was loving the brethren that he was encouraging each and every time that he would brought a portion of God's word. That simple act of kindness shown towards one for another is an encouragement, a building up, can go a very, very long way. We may never know when one of us, whether it's of our spiritual family or our physical family or those that we work around, are having a bad day. The simple words of encouragement to urge one forward, same definition we find in Vines, may be the one thing that is needed. Because we know hardships of this life will come. Are we the ones that are going to be there for others? And not what someone can do for us sometimes, it's how can we help each other to urge one forward if we don't show up and give encouragement. We are the family that stands with each other through the trials of life. And the trials of life are going to be thrown our way day in and day out. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 14. I'm going to read both the versions from the New International Version and the American Standard Version. So Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Strengthening the disciples and encourage them to remain true to the faith, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. That was the New International Version. American Standard says, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that though many tribulations we must, and that through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. Going through the trials of life, going through the things that are going to be presented in life, aren't easy at times. Some of them are even scary, thinking that we may have to face these alone. But we're not alone. We have the brethren, we have God, we have strength. But having God at our side should and always be our biggest first step. As parents, as grandparents, as family members, as young children are being brought up, we remember their first steps. How old they were when they took that first step. How old were we when we took our first big step to be God's children? And then added to a much bigger family. Having brothers and sisters in Christ on your side has got to be an encouraging and great feeling. Having a spiritual family that continues to grow and nurture is a wonderful thing. I know it's been a help to me and my family as we've been through our trials, as others have as well. Now let's turn to the book of Thessalonians, this time the second letter. In chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, Paul also writes words of encouragement to the brethren. So then, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions. The New International Version says, stand firm, which ye were taught whether by word or by epistles of ours. So whether they heard it or whether they saw it in a letter, stand firm. Verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father who loved us and gave us eternal comfort. And the New International says, eternal encouragement. And good hope through grace. Verse 17, comfort or encourage your hearts and establish them. The New International says, strengthen you in every good work and word. Paul wrote these letters to the church at Thessalonica, but they have application for us today. They were designed to encourage, to build up, to give comfort, to give support to give confidence, to give hope, to urge forward a calling to one's aid. We see all these definitions are covered in those things. Because we also are called to give encouragement, but to receive it from time to time. In the first letter of the Thessalonians, in chapter 5, verse 14, Paul is trying to urge the brothers to help each other, to give support, to show and be long-suffering as God was long-suffering with us. We as a family and Christians should be that soft landing spot, a place to listen, and to give support to. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, reading from the New International Version, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. And now from the American Standard Version, and we exhort you, brethren, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. So we see some of the same kind of themes. Warn those who are idle, admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, encourage the timid, help the weak, support the weak. Be patient with everyone. Be long-suffering toward all. And I know that sometimes is difficult, but we should seek to be like Christ was. Seek to be the comforter and encourager of others. Be humble, having tender mercies, and caring one for another. As Paul also wrote the letter to Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and I'll be reading both versions of the New International Version and the American Standard. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And the American Standard reads this way: if there is therefore any exhortation in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassion, make full my joy, that ye be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind, doing nothing through fraction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself. So we need to be imitators of Christ. We need to humble ourselves. We need to have those tender mercies. Remember, Jesus gave his all for us. By being encouraging one to another, we can show the tender mercies that were given to us. We are joined with each other through Christ because there is no other salvation than that found in Christ. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians gave his introduction with comfort and encouragement. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. In the first two verses, he basically gives them an introduction and a salutation of his greetings. But then he adds in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any affliction, through the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferers of Christ around about us, even so our comfort aboundeth through Christ. But whether we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or whether we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which worketh in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so also are ye of the comfort. When we study the period of Judges, and Joshua was taking hold of the reins of the nation of Israel, and they were about to face more trials, he told the nation of Israel, as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. We see David, when he went through trials, he went back to God and prayed and asked for forgiveness when he was revealed that he transgressed. We know that all these messages that are given in the New Testament from Paul came from the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to encourage, to build us up, to give us strength, Lord. And we see each time we open these passages, we can see that trials will come, but the comfort is there. Let us turn now to Psalm chapter 23 and read that chapter. It's very familiar to most of us. We've heard it many times. Jehovah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guideth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we go through these scriptures, as we have read these things, they should give us comfort, knowing that we are your children, that you have watched over us through the generations, that you have given us strength and endurance, that you have given your word to us. As your children, we need to pick it up, dwell our time with it, read thoroughly, allow it to fill us up richly, fill our minds, our hearts, to overwhelm us, Lord, to allow our cup to be overflowing with your words of encouragement and kindness, to allow us to make the understanding that Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice for us, and that as your children, we also need to pass that along to others, that we are that light that is not hidden under a basket, that we are in this nation those that would encourage one another. We have many things that trouble us or trial us in our days of life, but remember, those things are trivial when it comes to having everlasting life with you and being your children, that we continue to walk firmly, steadfastly, and we are not shaken, that you give us this strength and this encouragement, that we all will have that and be better children of yours, that we take on that like-mindedness that Christ gave for us, that he shared and was humbled before men, that we too will humble ourselves and show our kindness and encouragement to others. In Jesus' precious name, in whom we pray, we believe. Amen. God is in control of all things, but we know that we can't forget to be his people. We need to do this through his plan, his invitation, his direction, because as it said in Acts chapter 14, verses 22, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. Now turn with me to the last few passages that I may read. In Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 33, Paul told the Philippian jailer when he asked him the question after the doors were opened up, after the earth shook, and the jailer thought all was lost and he was about to take his own life. And when he found Paul and Silas still inside, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. We also remember that we are those that fall short and we have sin in our lives and we need to turn away from that sin. Staying in the same book of Acts in chapter 3, and verses 17 and 19. "Now, brethren, I know that in ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But the things which God foreshadowed by the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ should suffer, he thus suffered. Repent ye therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Our sins need to be blotted out. They need to be turned away from. But we also need to make confession with thy mouth. We recognize that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For thy heart believeth unto righteousness, and with thy mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, everyone therefore who shall confess me, Jesus, before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. So we see the steps of salvation. We know that we need to be added as children of God, and we need to be added so we come in contact with the blood of Christ and put on Christ. We see in 1 Peter 3 through 17, chapter 3, 17 through 21, for it is better if the will of God should so will that ye suffer from doing well-doing than from evil-doing, because Christ also suffered for our sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he must bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison, that aforetime were disobedient with long-suffering of God, waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, which also suffer a true likeness, an antitype, doth now save you, even baptism, now putting away the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3, verses 27, chapter 3, verse 27, it says, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, put on Christ. And we see in Romans chapter 6, I don't have that listed, but Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3, or are ye ignorant that all who were baptized into Christ, Jesus was baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death, that like as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. And that means we need to then walk in that Christian life. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself to walk even as he walked, being Christ. I appreciate the time that you've taken to listen to us as we had this message on encouragement, the plan of salvation to be members of the Lord's body, that each one of us goes through these steps, that we may be added to his church. And as we study each and every day, as we walk each and every day, that we are an encouragement to others around and about us, that we may show that we are true children of God, that he has direction for us always. Now let's go to God in our closing prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you this day that you have given to us, that all things are good by your hands, and as we read your scriptures, we're comforted and strengthened. Allow us to take these and fill us richly within our hearts. Allow us to go now from this time and this efforts that we have and to be better people, to allow us to do away with our old sinful lives, move forward, Lord, and always in your direction. That one day we hear those, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the house of glory, that we may all be reunited when this physical life ends and our spiritual life in heaven begins. Be with each one of us, Lord. Continue to guide us. This is our prayer in Jesus Christ, in whom we believe. Amen.